This is Mary Thompson interviewing Dan Laney on Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Hi, Dan. I want to start by asking kind of a proverbial question to people who've had goats forever. How did you get into goats? What attracted you to them in the first place?
What attracted me the first place was my son, Josh. When he was born, he was lactose intolerant, we found out. And we started, after nursing, gave him Isomil. And every time I'd open a can of Isomil at that time, that was in 1972, just the smell of the Isomil just really offended me. And I kept telling my wife, you know, this just doesn't smell like a good thing to be given to a baby. But that was what the doctor recommended. I happened to fortunately be a preferable advocate or love to read Mother Earth News. And I was reading an article right about that time in Mother Earth News, and they talked about, the article was the benefits of goat's milk and how it was the best substitute for mother's milk. So right away that started the wheels turning, and I decided I wanted to get a dairy goat so that we could give Josh the milk that he really needed, not this Isomil.
So did you go out and buy a goat then?
Yeah, well, so I started looking in our little paper. We lived, unfortunately, on a ranch at that time where I was teaching, and we had some room that we could get a goat. So I started looking in our local paper, and it wasn't a couple of days later, I happened to see an ad where they were selling Nubian Alpine Cross milking goat, and they had the tag in there for $35. So I immediately called the number, found out if that was still available. Had to think about the transportation because they were about 45 miles away from where I lived, and I did not have a pickup truck at that time. I was driving a Rambler station wagon, and I thought, well, I will just put the back down and just bring her home in that. So that's what happened. I went over, I got her, paid the $35, and brought her home. And I'll tell you what, the transformation in me started right then. It's about my love for goats, because that goat stood in the back of that Rambler station wagon, and it was a rough country road all the way from her place to mine. She put her head over my shoulder so she could look out the dashboard, and never did a thing wrong in that car the whole time.
What did she look like?
Well, she was one of these kind of she was kind of like a Couclair kind of a doe, uh-huh. And then had the airplane ears, okay. Of course, uh-huh. Like a Roman nose, but just the dairy goat.
What was her name?
Tiger Lily.
Oh, okay. And how did she milk?
She milked really well. I had looked back in that article again to see if they gave me some handy points. We'd had animals growing up, but I never had a milking goat or a milking animal. So I had to figure out how you did the milking. And she was very patient. I did the people had a milk stand that they sold to me for $5. So I brought that home as well on the top of the Rambler, uh-huh. And set it up and proceeded to, you know, study how to do this. And after some rough starts, I was able to get the milk. And she was just a sweetheart the whole time. Never kicked the bucket, never did anything. Just looked, uh-huh. at me like, are you going to get it together pretty soon here, buddy? So it was a great, great experience,
yeah.
for me.
And then did those people that sold her, did they give you some instruction on feeding, or how did you
Okay, so how I got with that was I'd done some reading up. I mean, I was an ag major going to school before I became a teacher. So I started looking up about the goat and what they needed. I was on a ranch, so I had lots of alfalfa hay.
Oh, okay.
But then fortunately these people, they were just really great individuals in themselves, and they sent me home with like a half a bag the grain that, uh-huh. and they told me where they got it, mm-hmm. so I could, you know,
and
continue
how
and how much to give. They gave me the basics of what to do, and so that really gave me a good start.
How long before you added a second goat?
Well, what happened with this is I was teaching in this one room school up in Northern California at that time, and that's why we had this goat and everything was working fine. But we decided we wanted to spread our wings a little further and do maybe some international teaching. So I started applying for positions around the world, basically through this program called International School Services, ISS. And eventually, we got a job placed in Saudi Arabia, but kind of it was a rough time, so we decided we weren't going to go to Saudi Arabia then because of the little baby. But we looked at some other jobs, and I got accepted to teach in Alaska. So we said, well, it's not Saudi Arabia, but it's a new experience, a great adventure. So that meant we had to sell Tiger Lily. And the unfortunate thing was is she ended up having triplets the day that we were going to have to leave. And they all were does. But she got a good home, so we were on hiatus for a year while I taught in Alaska. When I came back from Alaska, it wasn't quite as relevant for Josh to have the goat's milk, but we were determined to get back into goats. Mm-hmm. Taught in a little place where we could have goats. And so I started online again. Not online, in the newspaper. Yeah, we did it online. It was in the newspaper, looking for goats. And I was in a rural area, and a lady had an ad in the paper. She had two. They were Nubians. And she said they were registered Nubians. And I wasn't sure exactly what all that meant, but I thought I'd take a look. So I went, and we picked up two Nubians from her, two does, and they were from Hurricane Acres.
Oh, wow.
And that, I soon learned, was a pretty reputable Nubian breeder down in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. And... how were they? Were they good milkers?
Okay, so they the one was a young doe. She hadn't been bred yet. It was a dry yearling and a milker. Uh-huh. The two, but they were registered. And so the lady explained to me, I wasn't knowledgeable at that time about the registrations and all that stuff. And so she showed me the pedigrees. Although it was a pretty easy transfer because I had dogs and I had horses and we had paper. So,
yeah,
you know,
so you understood the concept,
I understood the process. It was just that I didn't know there was an American Dairy Goat Association or anything like that at that time.
Yeah.
But that really started me really thinking because I had been on the judging team in the University of California, Chico, and knew, you know, about animals and the benefits of quality animals in all breeds. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, these two were nice goats, but I was now set on making sure if I was feeding a goat, I wanted the best that I could possibly have. Mm-hmm.
Did that lead you then into the American Dairy Goat Association?
Okay, so it did, because I was in a very rural area where there were not very many people that had goats. Uh-huh. And the people that had goats were just goats, mm-hmm. kind of like Tiger Lily was.
Yeah.
Not knocking Tiger Lily by any means, but I was kind of now thinking a little bit more about registered stock. Mm-hmm. And I ended up talking to this Mrs. Garcia, who I bought the goats from, and asked her about this American Dairy Goat Association, and if it would help me to find out about other goats. And that's when I learned they had a directory.
Uh-huh.
And so I immediately called the number that I was given and wanted to become a part of this association. And this was in 1972. Mm-hmm. And so they sent me the stuff. I applied. And then when I got the directory, the best part was I needed to get a buck because I had the two does.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I started looking at where were animals, you know, in California, where I lived, that would be close.
Yeah. And so after, where did you find one then?
So what I ended up doing at that time, now I had a pickup truck, and so transportation wasn't as much of a problem, which was fortunate because there were no registered animals in my area. Uh-huh. So what I had to end up doing is I had to drive to the Sonoma County, Sebastopol, Santa Rosa area of Northern California. Mm-hmm. And I linked up, fortunately for me at that time, with a lady named Suzanne Murray.
Oh, uh-huh.
Suzanne Murray had a younger sister named Lelia Berry. Huh. But that is a whole nother story.
It
wasn't to meet Lilia until later, but this Suzanne Murray sort of became my mentor.
Uh-huh.
And she had the national champion named Hubigant a number of years later, and was, I spent an afternoon with her, and I learned lots of things about the American Dairy Goat Association, dairy goats, and that really got me fired up to become.
Yeah. She lived by Sonoma.
Okay. So lived by Sonoma. Okay. She was her husband was a veterinarian.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that.
And she had Nubians, only Nubians. Uh-huh. So I then leased a buck from her.
Oh, okay.
And it was Sarko Creek was her herd name, Sarko Creek. And the first, I had Sarko Creek, I'll have to think of the name of the buck, but it was a Sarko Creek buck. And then that started quite an extensive relationship between her and I.
Uh-huh. Oh, that. And so Nubians, obviously, was your first breed.
Yes.
How long did you just concentrate on Nubians?
Probably far longer than I should have. I would say probably 15 years at least. I was determined to... I started out with, which was really interesting. I started out, and all I wanted was milk. Uh-huh. I had... dogs that I showed, I had horses I showed and all that. And I was in a situation where all I wanted was milk. I didn't want to do any showing. Mm-hmm.
Did you just mostly use it for your own purposes or did you sell it at all?
We started off with using it for our own purposes and then I made cheese, made yogurt and all. And then pretty soon that some of the neighbors started buying some of the milk as well as I had the herd expanding. Those two had them bred, they had kids. So over a very short time, we had a small herd of 4 or 5 milkers.
Uh-huh.
And so that was more than we needed. So I did start selling the milk. But
when did you start showing?
We lived in Siskiyou County up by Wairika, and they had a county fair. And so part of this whole experience was my wife was doing crafting things. She was making quilts and different things, and we were growing vegetables, organic vegetables, and it was a really great little fair. And so it was about 35 miles away, but we decided we really wanted to get involved in the county fair. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at all the little registration things you could enter, and they had an entry for goats.
Uh-huh.
So we decided, okay, well, we're going to the fair, and I evidently forgot that all I wanted was just for milk because I took the goats to the fair, and we entered the goats. We had their quilt entered, and we had some flowers and stuff like that. We just filled out a lot of different things we were entering, and it was a really fun experience. The kids had a great time because we were up in really a cabin area, so we were pretty isolated. So coming to the fair was a big thing.
Yeah.
And then the goats went in a ring, and there was only probably 6 or 8 goats at the whole show at that time. But those 2 goats that I brought won.
Uh-huh.
And that was it.
You were bitten then, huh?
That was it.
It was probably just a local judge.
It was just somebody who probably judged all livestock. It was not
a dairy goat judge.
No, it was just him. But this getting that blue ribbon and all of that, and it started the process in my head, this.
So then did you start... you wanted to go to an ADGA show then?
Okay, so then along the course of, I was talking to Suzanne about different things with the goats and communicated. And she's the one that said, and I told her, I said, oh, well, you know, this goat won a blue at the fair, but it was just a small show. And she said, oh, I thought you just wanted them for milk. And I said, well, you know, it was kind of fun to... Do you know, are there shows up where I live? And she goes, oh, yes, there's some shows. And the closest one at that time was in Medford, Oregon.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I was starting to really get, I guess, a little bit more of a goat fever thing going on. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do what... But the truck broke down, and so I had to take him up, and I had a Volkswagen Beetle, and I had to take him up in my Volkswagen Beetle, a bug. And so I took the back seat out, put the 2 goats in the back seat of the bug, and then I put some hay in there and drove up to Medford, Oregon.
Yeah.
Showed them in an ADGA show and learned about how you had to, you know, fill out these papers and get all the things turned in. And,
right.
And those goats, they placed in the upper part.
Uh-huh.
I had done this something like, you know, I think I milked them out like a little before I went or whatever it was that
didn't know about all that.
Right, I didn't understand all the nuances at that time.
Yeah.
But they still placed okay, and the judge was I have to think about who that first judge was, but whoever they were, they said some complimentary things about the goats and said some things I needed to work on. It was like, and then started.
Yeah. So then, So you were kind of beginning into the ADGA world. You were showing, had a mentor.
Yes.
How did you then become really active in ADGA? What process or how long did that take?
Not very long. all of a sudden I realized that this was something I really wanted to get more involved in. It was from a number of reasons. One of them, we had other animals. I had cows, we had a pony, we had a horse. But the goats, they just were so, they were just great. That's all I can say. Yeah. They were easy to work with. They produced the milk. And they had personalities that I really started to notice right away that were really different. And they were just a very compatible animal in my mind to have around. And they were great with our kids. So I just, from the showing, of course, I started meeting more people who had goats and got a little bit more involved. I got a farm. then I built a barn, and then we got goats. I mean, more goats. Yeah. And I stuck with the Nubians. And what my goal was at that time was I wanted to get Nubians that were higher in the front and lower in the back, and still were productive in milking animals.
Yeah.
And that was my main goal, and it was always.
What was your herd name?
Slinker Ridge.
Okay.
That was from when we lived in the first place that we had the goats. The first time that was on Slinker Ridge.
Okay.
And so that was the name. And it got twisted around a lot of ways, but that was my herd name. Mm-hmm. And just, being able to pick a herd name and then get your tattoos, like at my numbers was SER for Sterling Ridge. I mean, it was those little things they really meant. Yeah. Something.
Yeah,
I mean, as far as, wow, I have tattoos that are mine, like at a herd name.
Yeah.
And all my, really, my experiences with ADCA were really great. I mean, I was able to get the goats registered. And I think because I wanted to become a veterinarian early on, and so I had a real love for animals always. And then getting into this arena really filled a real need for me, a void.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then having it be done by such a great animal as a goat.
Yeah, yeah.
And my kids, they all loved them too. It was not just myself.
It's such a great family endeavor.
It is.
And it's really a great, great family endeavor. So you were La Mancha's your second breed then?
No. Oh. So what the transformation kind of went like this. Like first we had the Nubians. Mm-hmm. And then in the course of this, my daughter started, it was over a number of years. She got into 4-H, and she ended up entering a writing contest that they had. And I'm trying to think of what it was called, like it was called Get a Kid or something,
uh-huh.
where you had to write an essay about, there was a kid goat that was being donated at this fair.
Yeah.
And it was donated by one of our very esteemed breeders named Sally Callahan.
Oh, yeah.
From Perfection
Herd.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
She had alpines, and she donated this alpine kid to the fair. Uh-huh. And the kids were supposed to write why they would, why they should be the one to get the goat. Mm-hmm. Why they mm-hmm. would get, why they should get this goat. And my daughter, unbeknown to me, really, because it was an alpine. But she was just all enthusiastic about, getting a kid and all that stuff. So she turned in the paper that they had someplace at the fairgrounds, and she won this kid goat.
So you got
and
an
so
alpine.
We got into alpines.
I didn't know you had
we
alpine,
had
so.
This alpine, and her name was Petunia. Portulaca's Petunia. I mean, it was her name.
Perfection.
Perfection's
Portulacas.
Yes, Petunia.
Okay.
And so anyway, we had her, and that got us started into some alpines.
Okay.
So we then had Nubians and alpines for a while. And then I became a 4-H leader. I had rabbits. So I was 4-H leader for rabbits first. We had rabbits as well. But then I got into the 4-H leader for the goats.
Mm-hmm.
And with my kids getting into 4-H.
Go ahead.
So and I was, we had a club of six or seven kids that we were able to get going in that area. And the way I got into La Mancha's was that one of my 4-H youngsters had aged out and was going to college. She hadn't quite aged out, but she was leaving the area for school. Mm-hmm. And she had a small herd of La Manchas. Mm-hmm. She was in the club, so I saw him. But there was a time frame that it was over the winter. I hadn't seen him for a couple months or whatever. And mm-hmm. her mother called me and said she was going to be going. Tammy was going to go to school over at Humboldt, and that they were going to be having to sell the goats because she and Frank, her husband, wanted to be free to go see Tammy mm-hmm. on the weekends and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. so they were going to just sell the goats at that point. And she asked if I knew of anybody or if I could help them maybe find homes for them. And they had like four or six. I think there were six. Mm-hmm. So I said I'd come over and take a look at them because it had been a couple months since I'd seen them. And Tammy brought them around, and I saw these goats. And so she always took really good care of her goats. They were well maintained and they were nice goats, and they were from a very reputable herd originally, Coastside,
which is
a very well known La Mancha herd in the country, especially in our area. They had some really beautiful animals that were high placing, very productive does.
Yeah.
And also beautifully marked by and large. They had beautiful patterns of colors.
Yeah.
But this red and white doe came around, she was dry at that time, and then there's a couple kids. And I looked at them all, and I said to Tammy, because she was just a delightful young lady, and I said, okay, Tammy, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll take these animals. I said, so what are you looking at? And she says, oh, you know, if before I said I'd take them, I asked what she was going to charge for them. And she goes, oh, if we get $50 or $100 a piece, that'd be fine. And I said, well, I said, I'll take the animals, but I'm not going to pay you what you're asking for. And she said, oh, and Mr. Laney, you can just have them. If you take them, you don't need to pay me anything. We wouldn't even think of charging you. You've been such a help to us, blah, blah, blah. And I go, no, 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 call your mom out here. I said, that's not what I mean. And so pretty soon the mom came out, and I'm talking to her, and I says, I'd like to take these goats. I'll take all of them. But I said, I don't want to pay you what you're asking for. And she said the same exact thing. Oh, no, no, you guys, it's you. And I said, no, how about if we do it? She's going to school. Why don't we do a little scholarship thing? $1,200, I'll give you for the lot.
Yeah.
And they said, $1,200 or $1,500. And I said, well, I can't do it for less than that. I said, there's some nice goats here. And I said, you know, she's going to school.
Right.
And I said, but the only deal with it, I says, I'm going to a show this weekend, and I'd like you to make sure you clip that doe. And she said, I'll clip it for sure. So that was the start of it. So I took this Avia. And actually, she wasn't a dry yearling. She was a first freshener. So I took her to the show that weekend, and she won the class that she was in. And that was the start. And there were kids, not hers, but the other kids I took, they did fine.
Yeah.
But that was the star of the
the group. Well.
And that was, she started it, and then we went from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so nice that they got to reach their full potential and not be, you know, sold to the sale barn or something because, you know.
Well, it kind of came back. I mean, number one, I always, this doe went on and she became national champion, but in the whole process, all the time through there, I always gave credit to the mm-hmm. fact that it was raised by Tammy.
Yeah.
I did not breed it. It was a Coastside doe. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and I made that real clear. And so, actually, it was really amazing because several years later, when this Avia was at Sacramento and did first in her class, Tammy came over from the school to see her and everything, and there were some people there, and the first thing they say is, well, how do you feel now about the fact that that doe that you practically wanted to give to him has done this?
Yeah.
And she just looked at me and she just said to the person, she goes, I couldn't be happier.
Right.
She goes, I would never have done this.
Yeah.
He's taken her the step further that I would not have done. She would have been sitting in my barn.
Yeah.
And she said, oh no, I'm thrilled and I'm going to school.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And so she helped me get my education.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was everybody won.
Right. Right. So did you phase out the Nubians then?
Well, yes, because I went to some nationals and they did fine. They were always good. They were just nice, solid Nubians.
Yeah.
But there were so many other beautiful Nubians coming on, and they're a difficult breed to breed. I mean, to consistently have replicate themselves in my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just been my, there's such a large gene pool.
Right.
And there's some variations. And all of a sudden, with the disposition and everything that was going on with these Lamanches, I just stuck with what I thought was really. So that's kind of, so we, I phased out the Nubians and just stuck with the Lamanches.
So this takes us up to probably the 80s, right, maybe?
Well, this, she was national champ, Avia was national champion 89, 90.
Oh, okay, okay. So, meanwhile, you got really active in ADGA. You became a judge.
Okay, well, first what happened was I became a director. Okay. This Suzanne Murray, or about the same time, maybe, I have to think about this. This Suzanne Murray had been a director, and then as I kind of got more into the goats and was talking with her, she said, you should run for a director. And so then that was another level. That was another part of, like, my educational and my involvement with ADCA. And so I found out about, I'd been showing quite a bit by this time. We were on test, so I was utilizing many of the programs that ADCA was providing. And I had been on the judging team in college, and so it was like, wasn't a huge leap, but I went one time. First time I went, I just audited. I'd heard a lot about how it was pretty tough. I went, really, you know, I wasn't sure what, and I wanted to kind of test the water.
Was Doug the chairman then?
I think he was.
Yeah, because he started in 86, I think.
So I think Doug was the chairman of the, and so the first time I went as an audit, and it was up. This one was held up in Washington. And so I just audited the class, and I could see why, you know, it was very intense. And I'm really, for me, I was glad I audited first. Because
you learn a lot.
And it gave me a real perspective of what to practice on, what I needed to work on. And so then I went and took the test the next time.
Do you know where that was?
Davis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I think this might be a good place to stop this one, because this is kind of your early goat days and how you got going, and we have so many more questions, so many more parts of your goat career to discuss, and this, I think, could be a good place to stop.
So I think that's an excellent thing. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Mary.
Yep.